Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have the privilege to share God's word tonight. Yeah. I'm excited. Mighty men of valor. Amen. Do we have some soldiers in the house? Yeah. Oh, come on. I said, do we have some soldiers in the house? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, first off, I just want to thank God for my salvation. I thank God for everything that He's doing in my life, everything He's brought me through. Amen. I'm homegrown. Come on, somebody. I'm a homeboy. Amen. Graduated the home. It's been about 8 years ago. Amen. 8 years ago. Matter of fact, over 10 years ago, I was in the home there in Southern California. I was out there, lost, bound. Amen. And God saved me. Amen. God set me free, put me in the home. Amen. And so I'm, amen, like Pastor Al Valdez said, amen, I'm trained.
Come on.
I'm trained. Yeah, yeah. Amen. I'm trained. I'm ready for war. I'm ready for battle. I'm ready, amen, for whatever God has in store. Amen. And so I thank God. I thank God for my pastors. Amen. Pastor Francisco, Sister Sylvia, my spiritual parents. Amen. I thank God for you guys. I love you guys. And thank you for investing in me and in my wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for my wife. Amen. She's a homegirl. Come on, somebody. Amen. She's a homegirl. Amen. By that, amen, I mean that she went into the home. Come on, somebody. Amen. She laid down her life, amen, to answer the call, to, amen, to join me and to run the home. Amen. It's a sacrifice. Not only that, amen, but she's there in the office and she helps out, amen, with the administration. And so I thank God, amen, because he gave us a calling. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And so right there where you're at, you can grab your Bibles and turn. You don't even got to turn if you still have them open. You can go to, it's the same verse, Romans. Amen. It's confirmation. Come on, somebody. Amen. Romans chapter 12. But I'm going to stay in verse 11. I'm going to stay in verse 11. And I'm excited. Amen. I'm really excited. I actually feels like I haven't preached in a little while. So I'm a little bit nervous, but it's okay because I know that God's in control.
Amen.
Amen. And so I want to talk about the same thing, passion for the cause. Amen. Passion for the cause. How many know that there's a cause?
Amen.
How many know that, amen, that Victory Outreach, amen, that we have a cause? Amen. We're just not out here doing our own thing. We're just not out here 3-5-ing it, come on, somebody, leaning on our own understanding. But God has given us a divine cause, amen, to reach the treasures out of darkness. We have a cause. Someone say, we have a cause. And if there was ever a time that we as Victory Outreach and that we as a body of Christ, amen, should put ourselves, amen, into action for this cause, it is today.
Amen.
It is today. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and read the verse in verse 11. It says, never be lacking in zeal.
Come on.
I'm going to say it again. Never be lacking in zeal.
Yeah.
But keep, someone say keep.
Keep.
Your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You got to hold on to your fire. You got to hold on to your passion. You got to hold on to what it is that God has called you to do. Amen. Because why? Because there's a cause, my friend. There's a purpose. We do what we do. Tell your neighbor, passion for the cause. Ask him, do you have it? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would move me aside. I pray for your anointing, God. I pray, Lord, that, Father, Lord, that there would be, God, Lord, hearts, God, Lord, that would understand, God, Lord, what true passion is here, God, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name we all say,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I Googled passion. Amen. I Googled passion. And it wasn't Webster. It wasn't, you know, any other website that gave me these two definitions. But Google, amen, it accumulated all of the definitions, amen, that are probably out there. Because how many know that Google, it's a search engine.
That's right.
It searches, amen. It goes through all of the information that we have today, amen. And it came up with two specific definitions for passion. Two of them. And so I said, wow, that's heavy. The first one is this. Amen. Number one is a strong and barely controllable emotion. Strong. Someone say strong.
Strong.
It's a strong and barely controllable emotion. Passion. And number two is this. It's my favorite. It says simply, the suffering and death of Jesus. The suffering and death of Jesus. Powerful. Two definitions. Google could have put any other definition up there, but it chose to put these two. It said a strong and barely controllable emotion. But number two is that we know as a Christian, amen, is true passion. Like Brother Angel said, it's the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He showed the greatest passion that a man can show that ever walked this earth. Jesus was a man of passion. There are two kinds of passion that I draw from these two definitions. The first one is worldly passion. A worldly passion. And the second is God-given passion. The first definition, strong and barely controllable emotion. Amen. The word emotion there, the definition for emotion is this. A natural, instinctive state of mind deriving from one's circumstance, mood, or relationship with others. A natural, get that, that's key, natural. It's a natural, instinctive state of mind deriving from one's circumstance, mood, or relationship with others. People who are driven by worldly passion are very emotional people. They're very emotional, people who are driven by worldly passion. And I'm going to break that down a little bit. I'm going to break down what a worldly passion is and what a God-given passion is, because there is a difference. Amen. People who are driven by a worldly passion are very emotional. Nevertheless, so are people who have God-given passion. They're emotional as well. And we see that in the life of Jesus. We see that in the life of the saints. We see that in the life of our leaders. We see that in the life of our pastors. Amen. That we're a passionate people. When it comes down, amen, we can be emotional. You might come in on a Friday night or a Sunday morning, and if you come before 10:30, you might see some people down here crying, weeping, amen, wailing because they're going through something. Amen. But nevertheless, they're here and they're crying out to God. Emotional. Or we sometimes, amen, you can catch a sharp rebuke. And it might seem that pastor can be very angry. Amen. Well, most of you probably haven't received the sharp rebuke, but I know a few of us have. Come on, somebody. And so we can say, man, pastor is very angry. He's emotional. But it was a righteous anger. Come on, somebody. Amen. See, God created people with emotions. The difference is the control. The control of the emotion. How do you control your emotions? Or better yet, who controls your emotions? Who controls the emotion inside of you? Amen. When you're angry or when you're happy. I know that when I was in the world and I wasn't saved, amen, I used to get real happy. I used to be real joyful. I used to be really, out there. Come on, somebody. But I want to tell you why. It was because I was high. We used to call it, amen, we were blazed. Come on. I was high. And so I would laugh and I would, get happy and, but it was because I was high. It wasn't God that controlled that emotion. It was the substance. It was the marijuana. It was the drugs, my friend. Some of you guys, you were very emotional when you were in the world, when you were there at the bar, when you were there at the club. You were very emotional. You were super happy. You were joyful. It's because you had five shots of Jack Daniels.
My God.
Emotions. You didn't have control over your emotions. Or maybe your emotion, you're very emotional, amen, and you know, and your emotions can cause you to do something evil.
Come on.
Because you don't have control over them. What are some emotions that we have? Happiness, sadness, angry, lazy. Some of us could get very hangry, right? You don't eat, you're so mad. Come on, somebody. Amen. It affects you if you didn't get your breakfast or your cup of coffee.
Come on.
Amen. But see, today's generation, we live in a generation that is so caught up with themselves expressing their emotions. Come on. All you got to do is look on your phone and you know what the brother next to you is going through.
Come on.
You know what the sister next to you is going through. Why? Because they put it all out there. They put all their emotions out there. They're happy. They're sad. They even got a little face on there that you can click, you know, to tell people what type of mood you're in. They're called emojis. Amen? See, you know, emotions. Someone say emotion. And we all have them. Amen? The Christians have them. The people who aren't saved have them. We all got emotions. Amen. Why? Because God created us with emotions. Amen. God is emotional himself. If you read throughout the Bible, amen, from Genesis to Revelation, you see God's emotions. Amen. You see God, amen, angry at sometimes. And sometimes he could be so angry, amen, that he would, amen, that he would send the spirit of death. Come on. That he would open up the earth and swallow people. Amen. Because he was, you know, because the people would sin against him. And that was the Old Testament. Thank God he ain't doing a lot of that today. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Amen. But sometimes, you know, God has emotions too. So, amen, we understand. We know where we get them from. We get them from God. God gives us emotions.
Yes.
But see, I love how Google pulled up the two definitions on passion. Amen. And the first one is worldly passion. And the definition was a strong and barely, someone say barely, the barely control emotion. See, a worldly passion is a barely controlled emotion. They barely got a grip on their life. When something happens, when a trial comes, when a tribulation comes, when something happens to them, they barely got a grip. They're barely holding on. Sometimes you can see a trial or a tribulation come someone's way, amen, and it can just mess up their whole day.
Come on.
It can throw them into a tailspin. Emotion is a word. You can barely control it. See, a barely controlled emotion, you know, the emotion itself is in control. Other thoughts are in control. Our people are in control. Are the money's in control? Are their bosses in control? Whatever triggers their emotion. What's triggering your emotions? See, in other words, the world has control over their emotion or their flesh. The sinful nature. Amen. How many know that we have a sinful nature?
Amen.
The Bible says that we got to put it in under subjection. That we got to learn how to get that flesh and tell it, shut the flesh up. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Amen. Sometimes you got to get that flesh and you got to, amen. The Bible says that you got to, come on, you got to put the reins on your flesh.
Come on.
Yeah.
The flesh wants to get out of control. You got to put it under control.
That's right.
Huh? See, one thing the Bible says, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Come on.
The flesh. The flesh is a sinful nature. Worldly passion is uncontrolled emotion.
Yeah.
Emotion is a natural, instinctive state of mind. Natural. That comes from your circumstance, mood, or relationships. The thing is that people in the church, they think passion is being on fire for a moment or season.
Come on.
Rather than a lifetime.
Yeah.
Sometimes people in the church, they think that you know, that because you're a passionate person, that you should be on fire all the time, that you should be preaching on the bullhorn all the time, that you should be doing backflips at the altar all the time, because you got the passion.
Speak
Sometimes we can feel, you know, just because we don't feel like jumping at the altar or we don't feel like doing something, and then we lost our passion. But see, I want to let you know that passion is a little bit more than, you know, doing backflips and spins and jumps at the altar. You know, being passionate is more than a seasonal thing. Amen. Being passionate, amen, it's not just, you know, for a moment. Amen. It's not being on fire for a Friday night. You're just on fire when you come to Fired Up Friday night. But when it comes to Saturday, amen, all of a sudden, your passion, amen, it flipped. And you got to, now you're passionate, amen. It kind of looks like the world. See, passion, amen, we got to be careful the type of passion that we have.
Yeah.
You know, we have to have a godly passion.
Yes.
We have to have a godly passion. And the only place that we get that is from God. The only place we get godly passion is from the Word of God. The only passion, amen, the passion that we need to get is from prayer and fasting, amen, and being around our leaders, catching the passion.
Yes, yes.
See, godly passion, I want to talk about godly passion a little bit. Godly passion is not just hooping and hollering. It's not just being excited. It's not just being, like I said, dancing at the altar. It's not preaching a one-hit wonder. Passion ain't fun and excitement. It's suffering and dying for a worthy cause. That's what passion is. That's what godly passion is. It's dying, laying down your life. Amen. You, maybe it's not a physical death, but it's a spiritual death. You know how to put your spirit, come on. You know how to put your flesh under subjection and let the Holy Spirit take control of your life.
Come on.
Passion ain't fun and excitement. It's suffering and dying for a worthy cause. Passion is laying down your life and picking up your cross. Passion is not position. It's condition. Passion, true passion. It's not a position that you hold. Amen. Just because you're up here behind the pulpit, you think that we have all the passion. No, my friend, passion is seen behind the scenes. Passion is seen, amen, when you're at work. Come on, somebody. Passion is seen when you're out there, amen, and you're living a life of integrity. That's what true godly passion is. Passion. It's not a position. It's the condition of one's heart.
Yeah.
Is your heart on fire for God? Sometimes our mouth could be on fire for God. Sometimes, amen. Or sometimes our, you know, the outside could be on fire for God. Sometimes your Facebook is on fire for God. You're posting this and that and this about, amen, what you're doing for God. Amen. But really, come on, somebody, you ain't about it. Passion. Passion is longevity.
Wow, that's good.
Longevity. Passion ain't about being saved for 6 months and then you get tired of serving God and then you want to go back to your 9-to-5. Come on, somebody. You want to go back to your old lifestyle. You want to go back to Egypt. You want to go back to the neighborhood. And then Jesus didn't go back. Come on, somebody. When Jesus left, and then when he went about his ministry, come on, he didn't return. And if he did, it was to preach the gospel. Passion is longevity. Can you serve God for the long haul?
Wow.
Sometimes our passion could dwindle. Amen. Sometimes your fire. Amen. Sometimes a fire. Amen. You ain't going to be fired up all the time. There's going to be seasons of your life that you're going to be going through it. There's going to be seasons of your life you're not on the mountaintop, but you're in the valley. Amen. You're going through it. You're suffering. Amen. People, your family, they ain't understanding you. They don't understand why you go to church all the time. They can't understand. Amen. But it's okay because the Bible says, amen, that an individual that don't have the Spirit of God is not going to understand. Because they're spiritually discerned.
That's right.
So it's okay when people start tripping, your family start tripping. Man, you go to church too much. You're giving way too much. Amen. Just know that it's the passion of God inside of your life. Passion is longevity, and we see that in the life of our leaders. We see that in the life of our pastors. I look at my pastors and I say, man, they're sticking it out for the long haul. Amen. They ain't in it for a minute, but they're in it to win it. They're in it to win the city of Grand Prairie. Wherever God leads them, wherever God takes them, whatever their pastor is telling them to do, there they are. They said, I'm willing. Send me. I want to go. Is there anybody that is willing to go?
Yeah.
Can you remain passionate for souls even when they hurt you?
Come on.
That's good. One day you want to win a soul, and then the next day you hate the soul. Because they, amen, they messed with you. They said your hair didn't look nice. They rebuked you. Your leader rebuked you. One day you love and you're passionate to follow your leaders. Amen. But when he comes and rebukes you, and they let you, come on, they let you know how it is.
Come on.
Man, yeah, oh, man, I don't know if I love him. I don't know if I'm passionate to follow him no more.
That's right.
And there's many times, amen, where I had to sit under a rebuke.
Come on.
Say, oh, that hurts.
Come on.
But I still love my pastors.
Amen.
I still love my pastors because they're only telling me something that I need to hear.
Come on.
Huh? How about your people out there, amen, when you go out to the streets and you, hey, I want to let you know Jesus loves you, God has a plan for your life, here's a flyer in my church, and then they take it, amen, but then you go to the next person, hey, here's a flyer in my church, I want to let you know Jesus loves you, and they slap the flyer out of your hand,
ooh.
Or they take it and they chew on it, like Pastor said. I've had people cuss me out smooth. Come on, somebody, get in my face, and I don't want to go to your church, and slap the flyer out of my hand, and come on, somebody, and we still got to love them.
Amen.
We still got to pray for them.
Yes.
Or when you get hurt in the church, how does your passion, do you still stay passionate, amen, for God?
Amen.
When you're corrected. Peter didn't fall apart when Jesus called him the devil.
Come on.
Jesus, man, he got the roughest rebuke. He said, Satan, get behind me.
Come on.
We didn't see Peter start crying and say, I'm not going to follow you no more, Jesus.
Come on.
Huh?
That's right.
See, passion is not pride and prestige.
Mm.
Passion is humility and servanthood.
Yeah.
You want true passion? You better learn how to humble yourself. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Humble yourself and serve, and come on, you gotta wear the hat of a servant no matter where you go. You gotta say, here I am, I'm ready, I wanna serve, whatever it is, pastor you got, whatever it is, leader you have, I wanna serve. And I'm not just serving in the church for men to see me, but I serve at work, and I serve in the street, and I serve in the kids' ministry, and I serve everywhere I go. Passion.
Yes.
It's not prestige, or it's not a title, it's not pride, but it's humility. Passion is not temporary or seasonal, but it's eternal.
Yes.
Passion.
Yes.
See, five things that you have to be passionate for, amen. Five things you got to be passionate for. Yes. You have to have a passion for prayer.
Yes.
You have to, if you're going to stick it out for the long haul. Amen. If you're going to have a real, genuine, true passion for God, amen. If you're going to have a God-given passion and not a worldly passion, amen, then you have to have a passion for prayer. Pastor Augie said this. He says, a passion for the cause comes from a passion of prayer.
Come on.
A passion, you gotta learn how to get in prayer, get on your knees and get in your prayer closet, amen, and download the heart of God, amen, because the heart of God, amen, is full of passion. But you ain't gonna get it, come on, if you ain't praying. The more, look, they say this, the more prayer, the more
power.
The more prayer, the more power. And also, the more prayer, the more passion. You want passion, then you gotta pray. Amen. Because if you pray, you stay. If you fast, you last. You wanna be passionate? You wanna be on fire? Amen. Then you gotta be a prayer warrior. Stop coming to church at 10:30. Come to church. Church doesn't start at 10:30 for the passionate Christian. It starts at 9:30. Amen. And the one, amen, that has more passion, they come a little bit early. Amen. So pray for their pastors. Amen. Pastors, prayer partners. But we're still waiting for some people to raise up. Amen. Because we don't just need one person, two person praying for our pastors. If we're going to take Grand Perry, we need people that pray. Amen. For our pastors. Not just 1 hour. Amen. But they need to pray. Come on. A day, two, three, 4 days. The whole week. You got to pray for our leaders, for our pastors. Amen. They got a target on their back. Amen. The leader's got a target on their back. Amen. You got to understand. On, somebody. That they're known. Victory Outreach is known. Amen. In the hallways of hell. Why? Because we go out there to the places. Amen. That are controlled by the enemy. Amen. We go to the enemy's camp. Come on, somebody. We show up with the water gun if we have to. We'll show up with a stack of flyers. Amen. And we'll let them know. We'll go, amen, 5 feet from the gate of hell to rescue a soul.
Yes.
So we need prayer.
Yes.
Pray. Paul the Apostle, in a lot of his letters, he would always tell the church, pray for me. Pray for me so I can preach the message, the uncompromised gospel. We need to lift our hand. We need to lift the hands of our pastors, amen, and pray for them.
Yes.
Two is this, is that we have to have a passion for souls.
Amen.
A passion for souls. Passion for souls. A passion, it has to burn in your heart to want to go to the streets. Amen.
Yes.
That's why, amen. That's why we don't have a big crowd going after Friday night. Amen.
Oh.
You know, and anytime the streets are announced, amen, you know, it all of us should go. Come on, why? Because the Bible says, amen, to go ye. The Bible didn't say pastor go ye. It didn't say leader go ye. But it says he's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the Christians. Go ye and make disciples. And then we all should have a passion for souls, to go to the streets, to evangelize, to go to rallies. And then we got to have a passion.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
Passion for souls. Two men in the Bible that really have a passion for souls that I want to model my life after.
Come on.
Two men, these guys, I read these two scriptures I'm going to share. One's found in Romans chapter 9, verse 1 and 3. I don't understand this passion. This is a lot of passion right here. This is a lot of passion for people. Amen. Paul says this in verse 1 of chapter 9. He says, I speak the truth in Christ. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Can you imagine that? Giving up your spot in heaven so somebody else could have it. So somebody else could go to heaven. Would you dare to even mention those words that I'd be cut off from Christ? I don't know if I could even say those words. Amen. Because I love Jesus. And Jesus set me free. Amen. And he gave me life and life abundantly. That's heavy passion. That he would be cut off from Christ. The very thing that he lives and dies for, the very thing that Paul the Apostle, amen, his whole life was based on spreading the good news and about Jesus and about how Jesus could give him eternal life, amen. Half the books in the Bible, in the New Testament, were written by Paul. And for him to say that I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from the Christ for the sake of my people.
Wow.
Most of us, amen, we don't even... Amen. He was willing to give up his spot in heaven. But some of us we're not willing to give up time, amen, to go to the streets. We're not willing to give up time to spend some time on the phone and hear a brother or sister out, amen, and hear them as they go through their trials and their tribulations, and they need a shoulder to cry on. They need someone to pray for them, amen. We don't want to give, our time is too valuable, amen, but I want to let you know that, yeah, it is very valuable, amen. It's more valuable when you put it in the hands of God.
Yes.
Moses said this in Exodus chapter 32, verse 32, Paul the Apostle said, he said this, but now please forgive their sin. Please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. Blot me out of the book that you have written. He said it's not. He was interceding. He was such a passionate person, amen, that he would pray for the children of Israel. He would pray for the people, and he was interceding. He was crying to God on the behalf of the nation of Israel. Amen. Is there any people? Is there one person? Is there two people here that you pray and you cry out and you intercede for people, for souls, amen, for your family, for the kids at school, for the students, for your co-labor, your co-workers? Do you cry out for them? Do you cry, God? God, touch them, God. Do you shed tears for people?
Good.
See, number three is this. You got to have a passion for growth. You got to have a passion for growth. Because if you don't have a passion for growth, you're not going to grow. You're not. If you don't have a passion for growth, if you don't value your growth, you're not going to invest in yourself. You're not going to go to discipleship. You're not going to go to Mighty Men of Valor. You're not going to go to the World Conference. And I understand. Come on, somebody. Don't get it twisted. I'm not trying to tell you just because you didn't go, you don't have passion. But I'm saying you got to understand, amen, the more passion you have, the more your eyes are going to see how important it is, amen, for you to go and invest in your walk with God.
Amen.
Are you buying books? Do you read books? Do you read books on prayer? Books on leadership? Books on church growth? Do you read books? Do you invest in yourself? Amen. Have you bought yourself a Bible yet? Come on, somebody. Some of you guys are still using the Gideon Version Bible. Amen. If you're in the home, it's okay. Come on, somebody. Amen. But if you're in the church and you've been here a little while, you got to learn to invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Because this is your sword.
Amen.
Huh? Passion for growth. Pastor has been, ever since he got back to Mighty Men of Valor, and even before that, our pastor, he has passion for growth. I see it, amen. I hear it. I hear his heart, amen. We have to know our pastor's heart. Our pastor has a passion for growth. He doesn't want to stay, amen, the size that we are, amen. He wants to grow. We want to proceed, amen, 200 people. We want to grow. We want to get past the mark, amen. We want to grow in numerically. We want to grow spiritually. We want to grow in our giving. We want to grow, amen, in our life. We want to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Pastor shares, he shared in 2 Corinthians, amen. 2 Corinthians, and he's constantly pulling us together, a team of people, the staff, amen, those who are full-time ministry, and those who are close to him, amen. He's going to grab you, and he's going to tell you, amen, we got to grow.
Amen, amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 says this. It says, but since you excel in everything, excel means to grow, to be the best you could be, to become more skillful, to excel. Some of us, we don't have no problem in excelling.
Come on.
You excel your position at work. You excel, amen, in college. You excel, amen, in every part of your life. Some of you guys go to the gym. Come on, you want to get, come on, right, in shape. Amen. Some of you are beyond in shape. You're just, amen, you're like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Come on, somebody. Amen. But you excel. You're growing. You want to become better. Amen. And that's natural. That's okay. It's good to get better, amen, at what your skill set is. Amen. But the Bible says, amen, to excel in everything, but in faith and in speech and in knowledge and in complete earnestness and in the love we have kindled in you. It says, see that you excel in the grace of giving. Fourth thing is this, have a passion for giving.
Amen.
Have a passion for giving. Do you have passion for giving? If you're still a tither, amen, praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We need tithers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God, my friend. We need you. The world needs tithers. Amen. We need more people that are tithers. Amen. But it doesn't stop there, because that's foundational. Amen. If you're going to grow, in your passion, you got to grow, amen, in the grace of giving. You got to understand that you got to give. Amen. Pastor, amen, doesn't preach on giving because he's selfish. No, he preaches on giving, amen, because he loves souls.
Amen.
He loves God. He loves God. Amen. We love God. If you love God, you got to understand something. The Bible says this. The heart of the Bible, the heart of Scripture is John 3:16. For God so loved that he gave. He gave more than his money. He gave more than his time. He gave more than his energy. He gave his life.
Yes.
He gave his son. Passion for giving. The Father had so much passion for people, amen, that he gave his own son, even knowing what those people were going to do to him.
That's right.
Wow. Even knowing that they were going to, come on, that they were going to murder him. How do you think the Father in heaven felt?
Yes.
Man, I'm going to give up my son. I'm going to give up my son, my beloved son, who means everything to me, who is the world to me. And I got to give him to a sinful people, a world that they're going to hurt him. They're going to murder him. They're going to mock him. They're going to ridicule him. But God loves people, so he gives.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Gives. Passion for giving.
That's good.
Gotta give, we gotta grow, we gotta give
yeah.
Not only our tithe, but amen. Some of you tithers have been tithers for a little while now. Said, come on, if you've been a tither for 3 years now, amen, it's time to bump it up a little bit.
Come on.
You gotta be a 12% giver, you gotta be a 15% giver, you gotta be a 20% giver. Why? Because you got the heart of God.
Yeah.
Passion.
Yes.
Pay your building pledge off.
Come on.
So more souls could come in the home.
Amen.
Give more. Amen. So we can get a bigger home. So we get a women's home. So we can get a facility. Amen. We got a vision here in Victory Outreach of Grand Prairie. My friend, we want to reach not just Grand Prairie, but we want Arlington. And we want Euless. And we want Bedford. Amen. And we want Irving. And we want Mansfield.
Come on.
We got a vision.
Yes.
We don't want one home. We want five homes.
Yes.
We want a D home. We want a G home.
Yes.
We want to take people to the UTC.
Yes.
We want to take people to the MTC.
Yes.
But we're only going to be able to do that if we have a people that understand giving.
Yes.
Don't hold back the tithe. Don't hold back.
That's right.
God says that he will supply seed to the sower.
Yes.
Fifth thing is this. Amen. I'm going to call up the worship team. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many thank God for our worship team? Amen.
Amen.
Oh, come on. You got to have more love for the worship team than that. Without them, how are you going to get your breakthrough on Sunday?
Come on.
How are you going to get your breakthrough? Come on, somebody. You got to cherish the family, the body of Christ. You gotta have passion for your brothers and your sisters.
Yes.
You gotta have passion, amen, for souls. You gotta have passion for prayer.
Yes.
You gotta have passion for giving. You gotta have passion for growth. But you gotta also have passion for the vision.
Come on.
You gotta have passion for the vision of Victory Outreach International. You gotta have passion for the vision that God has given our leaders.
Yes.
The vision. We're a visionary church. We got visionary pastors. We got visionary founders.
Yes.
Amen. They're not stuck in the here and now. Amen. But they see the future. Amen. They see the future. Can you see the future?
Yes.
Are you still stuck in today?
Come on.
Man, when I was in the home and I learned how to pray, I got a hold of God. Amen. God, thank God for vision. Amen. And prayer, because it was there in that home that I prayed and I cried out to God. I said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of being a dope fiend. I'm tired of being a liar. I'm tired of being a cheater.
Yes.
I'm tired of that lie.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it was there that God started giving me vision.
Come on.
To travel the world. To reach the drug addict, to reach the gang member, to reach the down and outer, to reach, amen, people, not just to hear locally, but all around the world.
Yes.
I thank God for a vision,
yes.
Amen, because it's not just a hallucination, it's really gonna happen.
Come on.
Only with God. You gotta have passion, amen. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. We gotta have passion. We gotta have passion. Amen. How many want passion?
Amen.
It's gonna take passion. It's gonna take passion to see your son saved. It's gonna take passion to see your dad saved. It's gonna take passion, amen, to see your family here. It's gonna take passion for you to graduate the men's home. It's gonna take passion to go to the UTC. It's gonna take passion to answer the call of God upon your life. It's gonna take passion, amen, not just a worldly passion, not just a momentary passion, not just a seasonal passion, amen, but a passion that will stick it out for the long haul.
Yes, yes.
Cause. I'm going to close with this. A young shepherd boy by the name of David, in the heat of adversity, he said these powerful words. He said, "Is there not a cause?
Come on.
Is there not a cause?
Yes.
Is there not a cause?" My friend, you can turn your TV on right now and
come
you can
on.
See that there is a cause.
Yeah,
you go outside, amen. Come to Delworth, you'll see the cause.
Yeah.
Amen. Go to Lancaster, you'll see the cause. Go to Tent City, you'll see the cause. Amen. You don't even gotta go far. You look in your house, look at your family, look at your friends that are not here right now. There is a cause.
Yeah.
He said, "Is there not a cause?" Today, in the world, there are many causes. There are many causes. A cause is this. It's simply a reason for action. A reason for action. There's a reason for action. There's a reason that we go to the streets on a Friday night after service.
Come on.
There's a reason why we give. There's a reason why we're a church of action. How many think, God, we're not a dead church. We're not a boring church. Oh, but we're a church of action.
Amen.
Out there in the world, come on. I didn't just hold up the wall. Come on, somebody. In the neighborhood, I didn't just hold up the wall. Come on, when they rolled through, I said, "Oh, come on, guys, it's time for action.
Yeah,
we're about to get down. Come on, somebody." I wasn't one to run my mouth and then go hide behind, you know. No, I was a man of action. And like Angel said, if we were people of passion in the world, you could be a people of passion for God. I believe that the church, the body of Christ, has the greatest cause of all time. Of all time. We have the greatest cause. The greatest cause. Why is ours the greatest cause? Why a reason for action is because eternity lies ahead. Eternity lies ahead. Eternal life is real. Amen. And you're only going one or two places. Amen. Eternal life. And I don't got to say it. You already know. Amen. But we got to be a people. Amen. It could be today for some students. For about 10 students, 10 people there in Santa Fe. Amen. They didn't know what lied today.
Come on.
They didn't know what was going to happen.
Come on.
They didn't know what was going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
The Bible says that tomorrow is promised to no man. It's not promised. So why are you just sitting there? So why haven't you rolled up your sleeves and put your hand to the plow? Why are you still letting the devil lie to you? Why haven't you been? How come you're not a person of action? How come you haven't made the decision to serve God for the long haul? Why aren't you going to graduate the home? Why haven't you thought about going to the UTC? Why?
Come on.
Lift your hands to heaven. Close your eyes. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. If God spoke to you, if you want God-given passion, you gotta come get it. You gotta come get it. I got my passion at the altar.